Today's daf in Masechet Shviit, Yerushalmi, brought to you from Yerushalayim HaKodesh, is daf Yud Gimel, and we're holding Halacha Hey in Perek Beis. But as I mentioned to you earlier, I think it's kedai for us just to think a little bit more about the issues that we went through yesterday, since there is so nogea, particularly Tu B'Shvat that's coming. So you'll remember that we had very different approaches to the Braisa that said that Netiyot, we said that Lashon, that even though the din is that something could be 3 years old, but the Peres of Netiyazo are different. And there, you have to wait until after Tu B'Shvat. Now, it's not clear what that means. Perot Netiyazo Asurin at Chamisha Asar B'Shvat. So remember that yesterday we saw that one approach to this whole thing is like Rav Abba Bar Mamo. Rav Abba Bar Mamo says that the meaning of the word perot nitiyazo is not this little sapling, but rather this type of nitiya, meaning this type of planting. It's not a reference to the young tree. It's a reference to the actual act of planting that takes place within Shloshim Yom, before Shloshim Yom of Rosh Hashanah, where there's enough time to be considered the first year. So therefore, Tainet Rav Abba Bar Mamo, since Labaisa at the end of 2 years and 1 month, we're going to be declaring that this tree is no longer considered to be Orla, and in reality, 3 years haven't passed. Therefore, from the point of view of botanical chiyuv, it's still coming from Shnosa Orla, and therefore we answer the peres of this planting, not of this sapling, of this planting up until the time of Tu B'Shvat. Now, Rabbi Zira, remember, argued, and he said, that doesn't make any sense, because where do you come off with Tu B'Shvat? If you hold it, you really need 3 years, so then you really need 3 years. What would give you the right to make it dependent on Tu B'Shvat if it's specifically referring to the type of planting that is gerim the tree to be considered to be a non-Arla tree before 3 years are really up? You can't just choose an arbitrary date. So there, that's what it appeared to say yesterday, right? So Rabbi Zira argued, but he didn't give an alternative. So then the Gemara said, okay, so what's the bottom line? My Kidon is the last thing that we learned. So we had Rav Mana explaining an alternative. The alternative is that no, it actually means Nitia. In other words, it's not referring to the planting, it's referring to the Nitia. That's the beauty of the whole point, says Rav Mana. The Nitia, you're right. The din of the Rosh Hashanah for a Nitia is actually Rosh Hashanah of Echad B'Tishrei. But as that same Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah explains, that's only for a Nitiyah. But once the Nitiyah is considered to be an Ilan, when is the Rosh Hashanah L'Ilanot? Tu B'Shvat. Therefore, you have to look at it differently, because once the Nitiyah is no longer a Nitiyah, because it was Yotzei Miklal Nitiyah at Rosh Hashanah, so now it became an Ilan. So now how do you define the Peresa Ilan, according to Tu B'Shvat, right? Now, that was the partial way of learning the Gemara, which would mean that the end, my Kidon, would be an explanation of the difference between a Natia and an Ilan, and would not be like Rav Abba Bar Mamo, and would answer all Natiyas in any year. Remember that this is Nogea, not only the question of Shemitah, it's Nogea, the question of determining whether this is Peres that are Chayav in Maiser Ani, or are they Peres that are Chayav in Maiser Sheni. That could be Nogea throughout the Shnosa Shemitah. Therefore, the idea over here is a general halacha of the Tiyas, and when we determine that, Aliba to Bishrat. Fine. This Shita of how to learn the Gemara, and that the question is that clearly we're coming out over here that it's the difference between the Tiyah and Ilan, and therefore is not referring specifically to a case where we were relying on the Shloshim Yom, and therefore there was a botanical issue of its not being 30 days. That shita is called the shita of the Baal Hamor in terms of the halacha. So that's how he understands the sugya, essentially the way that we understood it yesterday, and then it's a reference to all of Nityas. The thing is that it appears from the Rambam that that's not true, because the Rambam brings this halacha in terms of the dinim of Maaser Ani or Maaser Sheni. He brings the halacha like Reb Abba Bar Mama. And it's only indeed in a case where the netiya, the act of netiya, was done before the whole year. That's the point. So if it was planted afterwards, at that point there's no problem. This is the way the Ravid explains the Rambam, because that's called the sheet of the Ravid, even though the Maisa, it's Mavusas on the Rambam. So then according to that, we have to understand the Gemara totally differently, because the way we understood the Gemara, there's no way to learn that. Because he's claiming that the Maikidon is actually saying that the halacha is like Reb Abba Bar Mama. How could that be? So most understand that the meaning of that is that why are you introducing the din of the halacha of Tu B'Shvat as an Elon versus the Natia is simply an answer to the question of Rabbi Zeira. So Rabbi Zeira asked on Reb Abba Bar Mama that according to you, the whole problem over here is a botanical question. And therefore, if it's not really 3 years old, so how are we matir the pairs of what appear to be Orla that are coming from Orla? So according to this, the teretz that Rav Mana was giving, Omer Rav Mana to the Maikidon, so what are we going to say about this issue, is that since Tu B'Shvat is the actual Rosh Hashanah of an Elon that would be completely grown, so then we don't have to be so machmir to take the Orla beyond the time in which the new year was already chal. And therefore, that new year that's chal on Elon, no, it is fine for us to stop then. And it's no tain of Rabbi Zeira. Well, what about the fact that Lamaisa, botanically, you don't have 3 years? You don't need 3 years. I mean, there's a concept of Rosh Hashanah. The problem of the 3 years was that it wasn't yet a mature tree. But once you hit the point at which we were kaveya, that this becomes the Rosh Hashanah of the new year, we can rely on that. There's no reason to be machmer more than that. So that would be a completely different approach to the sugya that we had yesterday. And that question, in terms of the halacha l'maisa, is a big machlokes rishonim. So do we go according to the shita of the Baal HaMor, or do we go according to the shita of the Ravid? Okay, we'll see more of this, Bezrat Hashem, as we go along in the dinim l'gabei maaser sheni. Now, that leads to an overall, this is what we've seen in the Gemara and the Bavli very often, that a sugya in the Gemara introduces actually the new inyanim that we need to take into consideration in the next Mishnah. And here the same thing is true in the Yerushalmi. When we were discussing how it is that we're going to actually determine the point at which these are considered to be peres of Orla or peres of Netarafai, that leads us to the general question. General question is, how do we determine bichlal what year something is shayach to? This is nogea not only shviyas. Obviously, in shviyas, it's a constant question. If something was growing during the shishis and it finishes growing during shviyas, is it considered to be pairs of shviyas and it has kedusha shviyas and it has zman biur and so on, or is it considered to be the pairs of shishis? This relates to the same question. Something was growing in the second year, and it continued, and we didn't harvest it until the third year. Is that a year of Maaser Sheni, or is that a year of Maaser Ani? At what point is the growth considered to relate to year X? That's the question. So now, generally speaking, you should know that there are three major nafkaminas in terms of various things. Before we get to this Mishnah, because this Mishnah introduces things that are not part of the norm. So basically, we have three general halachas. When it comes to Dagon, Tirosh, V'Yitzar, so anything that has to do with various, the Chamisha Mine Dagon, it has to do with the grapevines, and it has to do with olive trees. Those are the things that are B'Diraisa defined as being Chayev and Maisers and so on. And over there, we're going to bring a raya from the pasuk that the defining moment as to whether the new produce is from that year is at the point that it reaches shlish. Now, what particularly is meant by shlish, that's also we're going to see big machlokas. Does it mean the point at which it's one-third of the produce that it's able to produce? In other words, you'll get one-third of the amount of flour that you could have had if you had waited until the end, or is it a measurement in size, and so on? That we'll talk about. But whatever it is, that is the first year, which is called shlish. And you'll remember that when it comes to actual practical harvesting, we have the idea of shachas, in which we harvest grains at an early stage of growth before they reach shlish, use it to feed animals, and it will grow back again. And therefore, you don't lose anything. So the shlish is obviously a very important moment in the maturation of grains. Now, what about normal fruits? So as you will recall, normal fruits go according to chanata. Okay, chanata, again, in general, we're going to be getting into the details of these halachas and what the shiurim are. But in general, remember, chanata means the first point at which you can actually see a fruit instead of a flower. So the budding falls off, the flower falls off, and now you see a tiny fruit. That's called chanata. And then we have our third shiur. Our third shiur is the shiur for yerek, the din of yerek. And remember that these halachas are only derabbanan, and therefore the rabbanan can define to you the dinim of meiser when it comes to yerakot and other fruits, like peaches or whatever. And so these question of how we are able to do the shiurim the way we want to is not really a problem. The only time it becomes a problem is if Shemitah Bismana says the Rabbanan, it's also not a problem, because all of these things were defined by the Rabbanan in terms of Shemitah Bismana Zeh. But the question is whether this also big machlokas, because there are rayas that the shiurim are actually deraisa, even benogeya Shemitah, which is deraisa. Again, all this we'll talk about. But what's important for us right now, before we read this Mishnah, today's Mishnah, the point over here is to recognize that these three shiurim do not cover everything. So we have our three shlish, chanata, and lakita. By the way, lakita itself is also machlokes, whether it means the actual time of lakita when you pick the veggie, or it means at the point that it becomes roy for lakita, and let's say you wanted to get out of the problem of Kedusha Shvius, you waited till the eighth year, you let it hang around longer, you're not going to gain anything according to those shitas, because it goes according to when it would normally have been picked. Now, when you decided to leave your tomatoes to the point that they start rotting, but now you have them in the eighth year and you don't have to worry about Shvius. Remember that there's the other problem in Shvius as well, which is Svichin, which we'll get to the details later. But there are all kinds of things that are not included in this shiur. So you notice that we didn't talk about kidneyot. So kidneyot, in general, just legumes, those are the type of things that they grow in a pod. And normally, they have the same din as tefuah. But there are a specific group of kidneyot which present a problem. And the problem that they present is that even though they all will take root at the same time and they were planted at the same time, each plant is very variable and they're not actually like green at all. You're not able to go in and say, okay, this planting should be ready in 41 days and then we'll go and we'll harvest them. Every single plant is different. And those things that have a tendency to mature on a plant-by-plant basis present a big problem for us in determining the dinim of meiser, because we can't have a situation in which when we harvest things from a field, we're going to be picking things that are, some of them are meiser ani, and some of them are meiser sheni, and how are we going to determine what it is that we're supposed to do? And we're going to end up taking the wrong meiser from the wrong thing. One guy who's next door to another guy takes off meiser ani. We can't have a situation like that. So therefore, Chazal were koveya a fourth shir. And the fourth shir is called Hashrasha. That's the earliest obvious. And the Hashrasha means that when a species takes root, and this is true even according in these particular species that we're going to be talking about that are similar to what we call rice, those things will take root at the same time, and then they will develop at very different rates of development. So if we go according to the Hashrasha, so then we end up without that problem because we know precisely when we planted it, and therefore we know when that Hashrasha will take place. Is Alon fully with us? Okay. So what are these kind of things? Now, the problem is that there's tremendous arguments halacha lemaaseh about what these things are. It's also nogea brochas, and whether you make a mezonos on rice or not. So because of that, it's nogea very much halacha lemaaseh, and the Mishnah Berurah speaks about it, and we'll take the generally accepted approach, even though there are many botanists who claim that it's not a correct identification and so on. So remember, we use the word orez for rice. We use the word dochan for what we call millet. We use the word pereg and pragim. Those are poppy seeds. And we use the word shumshamin for what the Arabs call sumsum, which is sesame. All right. Now, all those four things have this problem of developing at separate rates. And therefore, they are mitasrim, if they were hishrish, or lifnei Rosh Hashanah, they are mitasrim l'sha'avah. So as long as the rooting took place before Rosh Hashanah, then they go according to the sixth year, and we don't have to worry about them. It's a din in Hashrasha entirely. And because of that, it would be mutorin bishvius. Now, this is, of course, a little bit of a problem because we just had the whole circus. So I say that this is a previous circus, an introduction to this Mishnah. We just had the whole halacha that we said before, which was mashma, according to many of the Shonim, including Rashi, that you cannot do something that is going to make a hashrasha within shloshim yom of shvius, and you got to be oiker if you are shvius, which in Mashma over here, we don't care about that. Now, how do we explain it? That it's no problem. Okay, so, I mean, the question is, you can say, if you want to, you can learn it like the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish learns that we're talking about specifically Bidiavad, right? What we said before, that Bidiavad, we weren't gozer that it should have Kedusha Shvius, so maybe that's what it's referring to, or it grew on its own and we didn't plant it. Okay, the other approaches, remember, involve the question of whether the halachas that we were referring to were nogea specifically because of the dinim of the minyan, when something would be considered to be arla, which was not nogea over here, or is token pragim and sumsini. Fine, but this, let's set that aside. Our main point is to introduce a fourth point in the calendar or in the biological development, which will define the calendar. So now we have Hashrasha, Shlish, Chanata, and Lakita in that order. Now, if not, but if they didn't do Hashrasha before Rosh Hashanah, so then they're Perishvias. And they're Asur and Bishvias, because, first of all, they're considered to be Sfichim, even if they grew all on their own. And before the Gzer of Sfichim, they would be Asurim, meaning they would have Kedusha Shvius. And when it comes to the question if they're second year or third year, or if they're fifth year or sixth year, they're Mis Asurim L'Shana Haba'ah. So then, whenever they did Hashrasha, that's the year that we go according to. Says Rabbi Shimon Shinsuri, we've got other problems. And this doesn't, even this new edition does not cover the gamut of issues that is going to be raised. Because when we talk about something like Pul HaMitzri, now, Pul HaMitzri, as you know, is a very large bean. Takes an awful lot of cooking in order to make it edible. It's very popular among the Druzim. You can buy these, you know, little cups that they sell filled with pula mitzri. But many people view Paul HaMitzri as a vegetable and not a legume. And they use the leaves of the Paul HaMitzri plant as one of their vegetables for salad. It's like a lettuce. And they use it for a yerek. Now the question is, if you take a look at the zera, then we're treating it actually not like a vegetable. If you're looking at the yerek, then it should be no different than any other yerek. So Rabbi Shimon Shazuri says, look, it actually, and he introduces a new idea. He introduces the intent of the planter, the one who's doing the planting, in determining what year you would define it as growing in. So if it's Paul HaMitzri, and your intent originally was you were not going to use it as a vegetable, you meant it for its zera from the very beginning, and you're going to plant more of the crop, or you're going to eat the zrayim, whatever, but you were not going to eat the yerek. So if it was originally planted for that purpose, so then you're right. If it was for zera kayotze behem, so then it's like you said before, orez and the sumsum, and it goes according to hashrasha. Why? Because it's similar, indeed, to the problems that we have about the orez and the sumsum and the dochan and so on. But if not, if it was planted as a yerek, then it would actually be a yerek. So the question is, what precisely is the machlokas between the Tanakama and Reb Shimon Shazuri? I mean, the pashtus is that the Tanakama, since it didn't mention the Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, apparently doesn't hold it. It goes according to your das. And there is a standard. And the standard, according to many Rishonim, is that we view it as a yerek, and therefore it goes according to the Lakita. However, the Chazan Ish learns not like that, which is the mashmos in the way that the Gra understands it as well. We'll see tomorrow, or the day after tomorrow, we'll see the way the Gra understands the Gemara later, that it's not that we disagree with Tanakama completely with Reb Shimon Shazuri. The question is, we agree with you that the das of the planter is very important, but what is the din when it was changed? So let's say, if you planted it l'chatchila for zera, so what's the halacha? So according to Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, we're saying, if it's planted for zera, it's no longer considered to be a yerek. That part is true according to Tanakama also. But what is it if it's not a yerek? That's the machlokas. So Rabbi Shimon Shazuri is saying it's keyotze bam, it has the same halacha like the special things that we mentioned. Masha Enke, the Tanakama holds. No, it's a regular kidneys. Only these four things that we listed are not like regular kidneys. But we agree with you that, of course, there's a difference between planting something for Yerek or for Itzera. So there's two very different ways of understanding the Machlokas here. Rabbi Lazar Omer, what we're talking about over here, yes, you're right, that it should make a big nafkamina, where you're talking about these Paul HaMitzri. And, sorry, I skipped Rabbi Shimon's last words. This is true, says Rabbi Shimon, also in the case of Jack and the beanstalk. Now, the reason that became such a story, Jack and the beanstalk, is because there are, in fact, mega beans. This word gamulim, most learned based on the Oroch, that it's based on mega. So there's megalons, which are giants, right? So this is the giant beanstalk. That's right. So the whole story is a very old story. You know, Jack and the beanstalk is talking about these afunim agamlonim. So these are ganglion, they're gigantic, and therefore the giant comes down on the beanstalk. So they grow very, very tall. And if you're talking about these enormous beans, says Rabbi Lozer, yes, I agree with you that afunim agamlonim are also a kind of bean that would be like the Paul HaMitzri, and it depends whether it was Nintoim, Lezera, or Leyerek. Agreed, but only, says Rabbi Lazar, on one condition, that they needed to be Tirmalu Lifnei Rosh Hashanah. Over there, I hold that it does go according to the year before Rosh Hashanah, but it's not according to just the Hashrasha. Those things go according to Tirmul. Now remember Tirmul, we use that Tarmul today, we use for a backpack or a child's little briefcase that he takes to school. The word Tarmul means, indeed, that it has a wrapping around it, and that's referring to the pod. So if you have these pods on these large beans, and the pods developed before Rosh Hashanah, so then if they were meant for Zera, and they reached the point at which they had pods, then they go according to the year that they were mushrash. But if they were not meant for Zera, they're a vegetable, they go according to Lakita. And if they weren't developing their pods in the year before, they would also be going according to Lakita, at least according to most of the ways that the Mefarshim understand Rabbi Elazar. So then that means that we actually have five possible issues that we need to talk about. So we need to talk about Hashrasha, Tirmul, Shlish, Hanata, and then we talk about Lakita. So it's very important to get those things in your mind to remember the terminology so that we shall be able to continue without having to be made on the terminology every single time separately. Says the Gemara, Ores, Vadochan, Pragim, and the Pargiot, and the Sumsum, and so on, those things go according to the special din of Hashrash. So now, says the Gemara, before we can talk to you about the special din of Avoras, Tochen, and Sumsumin, let's talk about the general halach. The Peirot, what's the din of Peirot? When it says Peirot, it does not mean peaches. The reference to the word Peirot, almost everybody is maskim, means that Peirot, that the Torah includes, which are only Dagan, Tirosh, V'Yitzar. It means the produce that the Torah considers to be Chayev in Maasrot. So over there, we go according to Shlish, as we said before. What exactly Shlish is, again, not so pashut. Shlish could mean at the point at which you get the production of Shlish of what you would normally be able to get out of it. That's considered to be Shlish. According to others, it has to do with its sexual maturation, when it's usable to actually plant, which we'll be talking about. When we're talking about Orez, that's the next that we said is very specific. That goes according to the Hashrasha. When we're talking about veggies, then we talk about the Bishas Lekitato Isuro. Again, as I mentioned earlier, Machlokas, whether it means that they're really picked or that they could be picked. The Rambam learns they're really picked. And there are other Rishonim, including Taisvis, who says it means when it's roy to be picked. Okay. Now, Minayin Shilchu BePerasach HaShlish. So where do we get the idea? That, I mean, here we're talking about things that are Chayev Midirais and Dogon Tirosh V'Yitzar. And you're saying that we go according to Shlish. What's the Mokar? Since the Torah says, B'negea Chag HaSukkot, so it says an interesting thing. It defines Sukkot as the time in which Ba'ospecha Migornecha U'miyikvecha. This is the holiday that comes when you're bringing in your fruit from your goren, your threshing, and from your vats for wines, yikvecha. Now, why does it say Migornecha, Miyikvecha? Generally speaking, the yekev is the produce of that year's grape crop. And the goren is the produce of that year's tefillah. So why do we say from your goren? I mean, that's a strange way to refer to it. Why not just talk about when you bring in your crop? So it could say, ba'aspecha gornecha, ba'aspecha yikvecha. Therefore, we're derish. Ba'aspecha mi gornecha could mean velo kol gornecha, meaning you're not waiting until you bring in your entire crop. You are ready to use it now before it's actually finished growing to its full extent. Same thing is true of miyikvecha. You're not waiting for the entire yekev to come in. So it's miyikvecha, velo ko yikvecha. So that means even if you just have some proportion of what would normally be your full garden and full yekev, you would already go according to that chiyav, and you would have to take off mice. Yeah, okay, says the Gemara, but what does that have to do with shlish? I mean, that just says when you're taking less than the whole thing. I mean, where do you come up with shlish? So you're telling me that there's any amount of growth. Okay, fine. So any amount of growth is any amount of growth. I mean, like, where do you come up with making it up yourself? Omer Rebbe Zera, no, of course not. Take a look at the pasuk. Aser ta'aser et kol tfu'at zarecha. So what does that mean? Kol tfu'at zarecha. Aser ta'aser et kol tfu'at zarecha. I mean, obviously, where did you get the tfu'a from? You got the tfu'a from planting the tfu'a. It seems to be a completely gratuitous word over here. Ah, therefore, says Rebbe Zera, what it means is it has to be tfu'at zarecha. It has to be something that is sexually mature. And therefore, that's what we're talking about. A davar shu nizra u'matzmiach. It has to be tfu'at, not zarecha that you planted, but tfu'at zarecha, the tfu'a that now is functional seed. That's the point. Davar shu nizra u'matzmiach. And it happens to be that botanically, if a seed is not mature to one-third, it is not fertile. And therefore, yatza pachot mishlish, she'eno nizra u'matzmiach. You can't use seed that is immature to get a crop out of. Okay, so basically it's telling you, at the point that it is zera, even though it's only migarnecha, and even though it's miyikvecha, that is still enough to be mechayevet. Oh, wow, that's brilliant, says the Gemara, but still, you are taking it a step further than the pasuk is taking it. I mean, because what you're saying is that we should define the whole shebang based on the shlish. All that it says over here is that in the event that you have a shlish, then that shlish is chayev according to the meiser of the year when it got the shlish. Okay, now the rest of the crop that grew the next year, why is that not the rove? I mean, I understand. So the part that was its own development should go according to when it developed. I mean, you don't see from the pasuk that the moment that it reaches shlish, the entire tefuah is considered to be this next year, the previous year's tefuah, maybe the next year tefuah, which is the ruba, it's the two-thirds of it, should define the part that is chayev now in the next year. So me'ata, the basis of the pasuk would only be mechayev me to say that the shlish harishon, yes, correct, okay, I understand, the first part that grew in that previous year, that part goes according to that year. But the rest of it, the shalish hasheni, the next two-thirds, that should go going to the next year. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, because you're ignoring the beautiful point over here. We're not just talking about migornecha miyikvecha. We're talking about migornecha miyikvecha in terms of Chag HaSukkot. That's the brilliant issue. What does that have to do with it? Because learn it from Chag HaSukkot. Chag HaSukkot is crazy. Because Chag HaSukkot is the eighth year, right? That is the Chag HaSukkot of a Mitzray Shviyat. Is the eighth year. So why does the Torah call it the seventh year, huh? How do you explain that? You say, Miket Sheva Shanim, B'moed Shnat HaShmitah, B'Chag HaSukkot, you should have Hakel. What do you mean, Miket Sheva Shanim? Should say, B'Shana HaShminit. That's the whole beauty of Sukkot. Sukkot is both the end of the previous year and the beginning of the next year, as we spoke about in Nishirim on Sukkot. So just like Chag HaSukkot, in reality, it comes after Rosh Hashanah, and therefore it should be Laba, it's part of the next year. But you call it in the Torah, Ad Mahalach Bala Sha'avar, you call it the previous year. You say it's B'moed Shnat HaShmitah, even though it isn't. Okay, same thing is true over here about the Aspecha Migornecha Mi'etvecha. So therefore, ve'elu, hein la'aba, but ma'alech b'am l'shavar. It's all very nice. You say, well, but it grew in the next year. I don't care. That's the point. The migornecha mi'ikvecha treats them as if they were part of the year before. The same way that circus is called the same thing. And this, of course, raises the question that we'll, Bezrat Hashem, get into tomorrow, which is, if that's the case, so why is it any different for Orez and Docha and Progin and Shumshamin? In Hebrew we say Shumshamin. So why are these things given a different time? Why don't we go according to the Shlish, even in these things? That question is really the basis of understanding our Mishnah, the various manim that we have for determining what year is considered to be the year that defines the chiyuvim of produce, all kinds of different produce. The importance of defining, of course, is nogea two very important things. One, is it a year of Maaser Sheni or is it a year of Maaser Ani? The other is this considered to be Perashvies or is it considered to be Perashminis? Is it considered to be Perashishis? So what we said was, is that we actually have the primary dinim that the Torah gave us is indeed Shlish. And that's talking about Dagan, Tirosh, V'Yitzhar, where the din is a Tiraisa, and we learned from a pasuk yesterday that that's Shlish. When it comes to the types of fruits that are chayav really only Midrabana, we use the time of Chanata. Chanata is after the blossom falls off, and we can see the beginnings of the fruits. And when it comes to Yirakot, it goes according to Likita. So yesterday, we said, where you have normal legumes, the halacha is that they have the same din as tvuah, and it would go according to shlish. But then we had our special cases of orez, dochan, progim, and shumshamin. Over there, we said there's a new shear, and the new shear is it goes according to when it takes root. Shehishrishu. Now that is like a whole new way of looking at it. In addition to that, we came across an amazing new halacha, which was Reb Shimon Shazuri, who says that we need to take into consideration in certain species what the intent was of the planting. Was the intent to utilize the leaves, in which case it would be a vegetable, it's like a type of green that you put in a green salad, or would you be growing it for the beans, let's say in a Kol HaMitzri, where we were talking about these gigantic beans and Jack and the Beanstalk. So over there, it would it be dependent on what it is you were doing. And then we had yet another din, and that was Reb Lazar, who agrees that indeed there's an afkamina, but he says that there it wouldn't go Basra Hashrasha alone. It would need to have a Hashrasha plus Tirmalu. And we explained Tirmalu as having full pods, which we'll discuss more today and tomorrow. But that's the Tirmalu. So the question that we came up with, yesterday we talked about this a little bit, and we found a Mokra Midiraisa for the Shalish. And then we got to this new halacha. And the question is, where exactly do we get that from? Okay. So we learn Dayak very carefully, remember, from the Lashon of the Pasuk. Mi gornecha, mi yikvecha. Which means that even when you only get some of the intended yield, that's enough to define where it is that it's considered to be a tefuah of. And the Gemara asks, but that doesn't say shlish. Where did you get shlish? We had this brilliant idea that that is botanical. Because since the Torah says, aseret aseret kol tefuat zaracha, it means that it has to be mature seeds. And therefore, you need to be dover shu nizra umatzmiach, only a level of maturity which can now be used to actually reproduce. But if it's less than shlish, then we do not have mature seeds, in which case the Torah specifically says you can't be looking at that as being its growth. Then we asked, and how do we know that that defines everything? Maybe that should just define the part that grew, meaning the first shlish. What makes us say that it defines the whole thing? And there we had a truly amazing drasha that compared the din of Gornecha Miyikvecha, which is the Zman HaOsif, and that's where the Torah says to make a Chag HaSukkot. But Chag HaSukkot is very strange because it's part of the next year. And Dafka, the Sukkos of the eighth year, is called in the Torah that B'moit Shnat HaShmitah B'Chag HaSukkot, despite the fact that this hakel is taking place in the eighth year. And we said, therefore, in the same way that Sukkos itself, it's actually part of the next year, but you go, in terms of its reference, you refer to it as the previous year, the same thing is true in this case, where you have the migor necha miyikvecha that grew one third before, the whole thing, even the parts that grow afterwards, is considered to be the actual past year, the same way that the sukkah is the past year. Then we asked, and now I think we should look in here at the bottom of Yud Gimel. Then we ask, because here's where we need to be mashlim Yud Gimel now. Then why don't we say the same thing? Nomar af ba'orez uvedocha nu befrogin ubeshum shemin gen. Isn't that the same? I mean, why are we taking a new shear of hashrasha? What's wrong with the shlish, which we apply to other legumes? So same thing would be true over here. Says Rav Chunah bar Chiya, e'efshar la'amod alav. The problem is, you can never define which plant is at its one-third maturation, because dafka, these species are very strange in that even though they take root at the same time, when you plant a field of them, each plant goes according to its own rate of growth. And you'd never be able to know which one is at a third and which one became a third after Rosh Hashanah. And because of that, in order to make sure that we can take a standard meiser from the whole thing, so the Rabbanan were kofeh, we should go according to time that it was Nishrash, because Nishrash takes place simultaneously. And then we can take off or define the halacha of the entire thing. So let's say that it was Nishrash in the second year, then the entire crop is going to be Meiser Sheni. Let's say it was Nishrash in the third year, then the entire crop is going to be Meiser Ani. Masha Enkin, if we left it to the normal din of Shlish, we would have some things from the year of Meiser Ani, some things from the year of Meiser Sheni. And that gives us a big problem, because even if it isn't a question of Meiser Sheni, Meiser Ani, remember that the Torah says that everything has to be Shana B'Shana. You can't take old growth and use it as the Meiser on the new growth, or vice versa. So therefore, in order to avoid that issue, we made sure that we give it a new shear. Okay, now let's continue on Amid Beis to finish up Yud Gimel before we go on to the next stop. Mitivin, so the question is, this is the way that Rav Chunah bar Chiya explained it, and there was a big problem with that explanation, because we know in a brayse that talks about the din bedavka of ful hamitzri. Now, ful hamitzri, remember, we're going to be getting to this again tomorrow, ful hamitzri is where Rav Shimon Shazuri introduced the new halacha, that it goes according to the intention of what it is that you wanted it planted for. Were you going to be eating the seeds or planting the seeds? Or were you going to be using this as a salad green? If it was a salad green, then it's a vegetable. If it's the seeds, then it has this special halacha. Now, the problem is that there are cases, we're going to get to the big machlokas in about what those cases are. There's different ways of understanding it. We'll talk about the Rambam's approach tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem. But Lamaisa, there are times where if a person changed his mind, in the middle, after having determined that he's growing it for the seeds or he's growing it for the yerek, he changed his mind, and we end up with having some of the seeds and some of the yerek in one year, some of the seeds and some of the yerek in another year. What the heck do we do? So there it says in the braisa, there's really no problem. What you do is you just dump it all in one place. So your tsover gorno litocho. It means you take the stuff that was there from before Rosh Hashanah in the second year, the stuff that's there after Rosh Hashanah, so it's third year, you put it all together. So now you've got vegetables, seeds, year two, and year three, Meiser Ani, Meiser Sheni. Oh my God, what am I going to do? Says the Brisa, you have a simple solution. What you do is you make sure that it's prorated. So if you dump everything in the middle and then you mix well, just mix very well. So then what you do is, you can then be meiser mizaro al yarko, umiyarko al zaro. Now that's a very unfortunate language, because it makes no sense. And obviously, as the Mefarshim explained, this means literally, you can take from the zara and the greens. I mean, they have entirely different dinim, as Rav Shimon Shazuri explained. It means that in terms of the physical act that you're doing, you're picking up a pile that contains Zera and Yerek and you're taking off from it on Zerah and Yerek. So for all intents and purposes, you are not intelligently dividing it. But that doesn't matter, because since you made certain that it would be mixed properly, so then things work out. And it means that you basically can rely on the fact that it's prorated in a way that you took off the miser on the things that were meant to be for Yerek, miser for the things that were meant to be for the Zerah, miser for the proportion that came from miser Ani, and miser for the portion that became miser that was due to be miser Sheni. And therefore, even though we have separate dinim with each and every one of these separate plants, you could do the same thing that you do for the Pula Mitzri, you can do for the Ores, or the Dolchan, or the Sumsamin, right? I mean, you don't really have a problem to have to be Koveya a whole new shear. And so, like, what's the excuse that Rav Chunah bar Chiya said, no, we would have no way of determining. You don't need to determine. There's an easy way to get out of the problem. Omer Rabbi Yosa, that is a very good question. But, actually, Kaima Chunah bar Chama, Rav Chunah bar Chama who made a clear-cut explanation that was good enough to explain the whole problem that you've got. Rav Yonah said it was Chunah bar Chiya, B'shem Shmuel, but one of them gave us such a nice explanation, which comes from a chiddush in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Aser ta'aser et kol tu'at zaracha. So the Torah is saying that what you have to do is be ma'aser shana b'shana all of your crop. Now what that seems to be saying is that this miser is a function of all of your crop. And that would mean that ma'aser is only ma'aser echad b'shana echad. Yes, ma'aserat. You can take off one miser a year. But it's shana b'shana. You don't take off two maisers in 1 year. Masha'inkin, what you are doing is you're saying, well, I mean, you're saying a simple solution, which, yeah, usually that might be fine. But what if it's a second year and a third year mix? Now you're going to have to go out of your way, and you're going to have to take off. Some of it is going to be maiser ani, and some of it is going to be maiser sheni, which, of course, is, well, how are you going to take care of that? Okay, so here's how you could take care of that. You could take off first, you take off Maaser Sheni. And you say, okay, whatever proportion of this is high of a Maaser Sheni, that proportion should be in what I've taken out of the 10% I took out, then it should be Maaser Sheni. Now, what are you going to do with that? You have no idea what it is. You don't need to have an idea what it is, because all you need to do is to be paid at it. So now you take a coin and you say, all of the Maaser Sheni, wherever it is and how much it is podui on this coin. And then that coin you're going to take up to Yerushalayim, and you'll eat it like Maaser Sheni. Now, that means that the rest of the tefuah that you have is either Maaser Sheni that was podui, or it's from the Maaser Ani year, right? Great. So now you take the whole thing for Maaser Ani, and therefore you're covering all your bases. And you give that 10% to the Aniyim. So all that happened to you because of the suffix is that you've got this coin that you have to take up to Yerushalayim and buy payers with. Not such a disaster. So there is a way out of this, correct? Okay, so if that's the way out, you're going to be over on this Isser. Because here the Torah said you can't take off Maaser Ani and Maaser Sheni in the same year. That's what you're going to be doing. You're going to be taking off on the same bunch of payers with this Tanai. You're going to end up taking off two separate misers. And that, you can't do. You can't do. Hey, man, what do you mean you can't do? Didn't I just tell you there's a brisa that talks about Pula Mitzri, okay? And what does it say to do? It says to prorate it, to make a big pile, to mix it well. That's what you said. All right, Pula Mitzri, what about the very case that we used as the understanding of why we need to do this? And what do you do there? What if it's the second year and third year, and you mix it together? You're taking off Shnei Ma'asrot B'Shana Achad. Didn't the Brisa say, Tzoveret Gorno L'Tocho, and that way, Nimtza Ma'aser Mizaro Yarko, Umi Yarko Al Zaro. Amen. You can dump this explanation. Because the Braisa makes it very clear that we do not have such Akpara. So that's no good. We need a better explanation. Okay, so Benny, this part needs to be appended to yesterday's stuff.